Soikle. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
Soikle. You need some whoop 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 boing.
Absolutely.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. And we are going to do just that now that we've scared you about you can't trust your bank.
Yeah, that was a really interesting conversation with your brother, Ben Bry. He knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff. He's got like a PhD level amount of information when it comes to this stuff. And he's made a good point because he called me over the weekend and was like, hey, we should talk about this. Because I think people suspected there was going to be a bigger political fight over this with the House and Biden. Because as he said, a lot of VCs, a lot of tech companies are Democratic donors. And so who's pushing for a bailout, if that's what you want to call it? And so, but it seems like it was fairly painless as far as whatever happened over the weekend. Now, as he said, this is an ongoing developing story, so right. We'll see where it goes. But one of the things he said over the weekend, which I think is totally true, is how unless you go into finance, the average person understand so little about how our money works, how our banking works. Like the words he throws out, the difference between a treasury bond and notes and liquidity. And like, I know a little bit, and that's only because my dad worked in finance. He works in finance. And so like through osmosis over the years and like my one personal finance college course, I know a little bit, but it's such a huge part of our life that's for so many of us to not get it and not learn it better. It's kind of wild that we're just allowed to exist and be basically like sitting ducks to be exploited by the banking system.
Well, and after this last segment with him, it really made me realize how much they play with our money like the stock market does.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized, of course, that my deposits are getting lended to others and that's how it works. But it just seemed a lot more clear that it's just as hinky as Wall Street. Can't we just blame this all on Peter Thiel? He's the one who started the run on this bank.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could just like pinpoint it to him and he had some kind of accountability, even though he absolutely doesn't?
But he is the one who started the run on it by withdrawing what $40 billion.
He's allowed to do that, right?
I guess.
I mean, it's the same thing with the stock market. When you say that, it's like if by him doing that was an indicator of something that, as Ben was saying, is fear-based. And in the same way, when Elon tweets something, it affects the stock price of Tesla, right? And
right.
So it's like these highly high-profile, influential people in whatever sector that they work in that influences markets and influences others' behavior. That it's one thing when it's like Kim Kardashian and someone going like girls going to buy lip gloss. It's another thing when it comes to like the banking system.
Yeah, entirely different thing. Yes.
It's a little bit more consequential than one than the other. And so anyways, let's talk about a much more time-tested debate. What the heck should we do about daylight savings?
it's an ongoing thing. It is. It's an ongoing fight.
So where do you land on this fight?
I think we should keep standard time all the time.
Okay.
No more
daylight. So you don't like when it's later.
Lighter. No, I just think it screws up our rhythms. It screws up when Barkley was still alive. It certainly screwed up my dog's rhythms.
Is it the switch back and forth? Because that's what I've always understood the health the downside of it and the health, because when it comes to health, it's the switching back and forth. It's not that one is better than the other.
I think there is more evidence that that one is better than the other. There's a report on CNN. Again, welcome to daylight savings time. The bill, a growing number of sleep experts say the act of moving our clocks forward in the spring is ruining our health. Studies over the last 25 years have shown the one-hour change disrupts body rhythms, tuned to the Earth's rotation, adding fuel to the debate over whether daylight savings time in any form is a good idea. Dr. Elizabeth Klerman, professor of neurology at Harvard, says, "I'm one of many sleep experts who know it is a bad idea."
No, I know, but what I'm confused about is it the purely the switching back and forth?
No.
Or is it, yeah, so it's not, there's not an argument for having, you know, if we were to permanently switch to what we're on now. So all year long, the days, the sun set later. That's basically the argument. So if, I feel like everyone agrees that we should just pick one or the other,
right,
and not change twice a year. The question then becomes, is it better to stick to standard or better to, it's always an hour earlier of a sunrise, or going to the date where we're at now, which is there's always a hour later for sunset.
I think the medical community is siding with standard time and staying with standard time. Because again, we're tweaking things that weren't meant to be tweaked. And we're not adding anything. It's funny that we say that we have an extra hour. A woman that I used to work with before always said, all we're doing is cutting the top of a blanket off and sewing it onto the bottom of the blanket. It's still the same length of a blanket. There's still 24 hours in a day. We're not adding or losing anything. But we're tweaking our body clocks to adjust to this.
No, I'm in favor of not going back and forth. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to convince me.
Which one would you fall on?
I think I like longer days. I don't like the winter months where the sun sets at like 4:30.
Right.
To me is awful. I hate it. And I would much rather have more daylight into the evening than... Because this also ties into, because one of the arguments I feel like I sometimes hear for standard is kids waiting for the bus, sitting in the dark. But that gets into a whole other movement of should kids be going to school as early as they are? Because that's a whole other thing as far as more and more schools are saying teenagers need sleep.
Right.
We shouldn't start school before 9 o'clock and blah, blah, blah. And so like, are we in general starting our day too early?
Overall.
And that we could use more darkness in the morning than in the evening.
And I think the other argument, too, is certainly from the entertainment industry and people, you know, bar owners and people who have bars with volleyball courts, and it stays lighter later and people stay out later. But if people want to go out to play volleyball, aren't they going to do that anyway?
I mean, I guess there's lights.
Right. We have lights now.
Stadium type lights.
We don't have gas torches, or you know, we don't have torches.
Tiki torches.
Tiki torches.
I think we do, but
well, yes, but not to actually provide light.
And I don't know. Like I would be in favor of just picking one and going with it. My preference, but I wouldn't be that picky if I got to decide this. Would have more light in the evening. But it feels like it's a weird thing because it's just everyone hates this, and yet nothing seems to be changed. Hawaii and Arizona are the only two states that don't abide by it and
right.
have already made the switch. And yet, like, it's like very hard to get people on the same page to actually make this change.
Right. Well, and is it Indiana that part of the state does recognize,
yes.
and then part of it doesn't? Which is...
Is it
Indiana?
Yes, I think I'm pretty sure it's Indiana.
Which I just find wacky. I'm siding with the doctors that I'm seeing who are opposing daylight savings time. Dr. Phyllis Z at Northwestern University. Between March and November, your body gets less morning light and more evening light, which can throw off your circadian rhythm. Standard time is much closer to the sun's day and night cycle, which sets our circadian rhythm, our body clock, and it's done that for centuries.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, there you go. We just got to do something. So, like, in 2021, the Sunshine Protection Act was proposed as a U.S. federal law that would make this would make daylight savings time permanent, meaning states would no longer change their clocks twice a year. And in 2022, the Senate approved the Sunshine Protection Act unanimously.
Really?
I think I remember this. I think it's because they kind of like snuck it in there. I vaguely remember this story as far as like it was like the only bill ever in the last however many years to be voted on unanimously in the Senate. And I think it was like there were some people who weren't even there to vote. And it was just kind of like this random happenstance that they got it done. But then so the House of Representatives still needs to pass the bill before it could go to President Joe Biden. So it's like kind of close, but I don't know. Is this something, could you imagine like who would be fighting for what in the House under the Sunshine Protection Act?
That could set up some pretty interesting fights, actually.
Like, what alliances would pop up on who has skin in the game for what lobbyist based on this bill?
Truly. Would it be completely rural versus urban?
Do you think so?
I don't know.
Because the argument was always this had to do with farmers, right? And having more daylight to be able to farm? Or something? Is that the urban legend?
If you look through the history of daylight savings time, there's all kinds of things that were implemented and then taken away and implemented and taken away over time. But yes, it was about the farmers being able to get into the fields. Then it was about kids not having to wait in the dark for so long. I don't know. I just pick one. Pick one and stick with standard time.
I won't fight you on that.
We'll all get a sun lamp or something. You can turn it on.
Are you feeling it today? Are you feeling the loss of the hour?
I took a nap yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a pretty lazy Sunday, so I think that maybe has saved me a little bit. But all right. Well, the other thing that happened yesterday besides daylight savings is it was Selection Sunday, and one of Wisconsin's team made it in for the men and the women. So we'll talk about it when we come back. This is Ask Goes Wisconsin. My bones beside the fire. Far away across the field, the tolling of the iron bell calls the faithful to them. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen. Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And Selection Sunday was yesterday. March Madness has officially started. And so, Jane, I know we all know how much you love sports ball.
Yes.
But I feel like March Madness and brackets is something you can do even if you know nothing about basketball.
And I have.
Do you usually fill out a bracket, or do you just sometimes do it?
Sometimes I will fill out a bracket. Again, in a previous iteration, when I worked with guys who were in sports, and occasionally they would invite me on for my picks because I have a unique way to pick.
What is your unique way?
Well, first of all, you have to figure out who the mascot is for everybody, and that's not automatically apparent for all of these teams. So there's a little research involved to find out the mascots, and then I will go, you know, mascot against mascot. So who's tougher as a mascot? That hasn't worked.
Is that subjective to your opinion?
Yeah, it's so complete. Yes.
Like a badger versus a gopher, badger is tougher.
I would take the badger over the gopher.
What is a badger versus a Spartan?
A Spartan's got a sword, so the badger's probably going to lose.
Okay. All right. So it's logical. Well, it's like, who's going to win in a fight, a shark or a bear?
the bear will win because, well, yeah, because the bear.
What if they're in the water?
But the bear can swim. Bears can swim. My most controversial pick ever was, and I don't remember who was playing against Kansas, but I picked whoever was playing against Kansas. And my logic for this is because that's where they have the Noah's Ark Museum, is in Kansas.
Like, and the replica? Like
the replica. It's the, yeah, you can go visit it and stuff. And so to me, that means they don't believe in evolution. And if you don't believe in evolution, you can't have opposable thumbs, and therefore you cannot dribble a basketball. Now, I will point out that this hasn't necessarily worked out for me, money-wise.
So have you ever won the pool?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But I have a lot of fun coming up with my picks.
We should get a civic media bracket going. We're gonna run out of time though, because it's base selection Sunday was yesterday. I gotta get my bride side of the family. I want to say like 10th, maybe even 15, somewhere between 10 and 15 years that we always do it. Big basketball family.
Yeah, yeah.
No money. You get a trophy for winning and you get a toilet bowl seat for losing. And, I have won the toilet bowl. I have not won the trophy. And so,
is it a traveling trophy?
Oh yeah. So at our summer reunion, when all the cousins and aunts and uncles and stuff get together, there's a passing of the winner gets the trophy and the loser. I passed it off last year to my 92-year-old grandmother.
Oh, nice. But it's all legal. So, it's all legal because no money changes hands.
No money changes hands. That is true. And so, but I have to say it pains me because I grew up in a Badger basketball family and my dad played for UW in the height of Al McGuire and the Marquette Golden Eagles. And so I was very much raised in a house where we rolled our eyes at Marquette. But now I live in Milwaukee, and you throw a stone and you hit a Marquette alumni.
Pretty much.
And they're doing really well. So it pains me, but I will be a team player and have Wisconsin pride and say congratulations to both Marquette men and women's, because they both made it to the big dance.
Very cool.
It is very cool. And so Marquette, the men's team, is a second overall seed, which is their highest seed in history they've ever had.
Wow.
Since the tournament started seeding teams in 1979. So go ahead.
And seeding is based on what?
Basically, so the top four teams, so there's four brackets, or there's four divisions.
Right.
And by the end, the winner of each division goes to the semifinals, and the winner there goes to the finals. And so in each of the 16 teams, there's 16 teams in all four, and basically they're ranked 1 through 16, basically on best to worst. Based on win record,
okay,
and conference championships.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's basically, so the number one seed plays against the number 16 seed. So there's upsets. There's at least, there's almost always at least one upset every year where a 16 beats a 1 or a 15 beats a 2. But statistically, that shouldn't happen, right? And so it's the better teams play the worst teams. So that's why like the 8 versus 9 games are always, a toss up. And so so for Marquette to be number 2 in their division is great and is super high. And so then they won the Big East outright. And that was after they had been ranked, I think, 9th going into the season.
Wow.
So I will give credit where credit is due. Congratulations, Marquette. Marquette fans, I'm very happy for you. But unfortunately, the Badgers basketball, men's Badger basketball team and women's basketball team did not make it to the NCAA tournament. The men are in the NIT tournament where they, I think they were ranked 3rd in their division. But and so their season's not totally over. It's just not in the big dance.
Right.
But I have to say, I don't think I watched a single college basketball game all year, but I love March Madness. Like I just,
will you watch a whole bunch of games?
I will watch a whole, we will get, it works out perfectly because my dad's birthday is March 20th. So the first weekend of March Madness is always his birthday weekend.
Oh, wow.
Which there is no better present for him.
Oh,
except when the Badgers make it and they win. But and so we're going up there this weekend. So we'll watch a bunch of games. And it's just it's the Cinderella stories that inevitably pop up every year that make it so much fun to watch. And you root for these kids who care so much.
Yeah.
So these next couple of weeks will be fun. But maybe I'll spearhead that and get a civic media pool going. No money involved.
No money. We'll get a trophy. Rights. We'll get a trophy.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're finally going to get to our hot Oscar takes. Jane and I both watched. We both cried. We both have thoughts. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Sit by the TV and watch them all. Cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
They're playing
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are rounding out today's show with our general thoughts and feedback and excitement over the Oscars.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that last night.
So what, before we get into details of like who won and the moments we thought were awkward or good or great, whatever, what overall about last night's show do you think made it better than in years past?
I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a really good job of setting the tone right off the top. And he wasn't mean, but he got a couple shots in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just felt like the whole night, I didn't stay up to watch the bitter end, because that usually goes past 10, and that's
wait. What was the last thing you saw? The last award you saw?
Oh, gosh. Who were the presenters?
Did you see Best Actress?
I did not. No.
Did you see Best Director?
No.
Did you see Best Screenplay?
No.
Oh, wow. You went to bed early.
Well, I was probably in bed at 9. I live a wild life, Kristen. You know this.
I know. Well, and I've more recently been in bed by 9:30. But Mike kept saying that to me. He's like, when is this thing over? Jeez. But, you know, what I do appreciate, and I can't remember if they did this last year too, but I appreciate having two presenters for multiple categories.
Yes.
That they're doing now. And yes. I do think that helps speed it up of having, I think most of them did, most presenters did two categories.
That was smart.
But then there were some random things that I was like, why do we need this? Like the Disney for the preview for Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, it looks fun and I can't wait to see it. But also I was like, why is they doing a trailer at the Oscars?
Well, and I saw that all over Twitter. It's like, so what, we're just doing advertisements now during the middle of the Oscars show? And why just,
yeah.
And why just Disney? Why not any other movies?
Well, Disney owns ABC.
Oh, well, there you go. We own you. We can get what we want.
We will use this platform to push this movie that we want to be successful. And I didn't realize that Melissa McCarthy's playing Ursula.
Which is perfect. Yeah, she'll be great. She'll be great.
And that, who is Penelope Cruz's husband that's...
Javier Bardem?
He's playing Triton. Which I was like, wait, what?
I like that.
I like it too. I'm more surprised that he's such a serious actor that I was a little surprised that he would be like up for that. But it works. Sure.
Yeah. What did you think? What did you think of Lady Gaga's musical performance? Could we get any closer? I could almost count her pores.
I kind of liked it just because we've seen her in everything, right? She is her career. I mean, I was thinking about that as she performed. How many times she's performed at the Oscars already? I mean, remember a handful of years back when she did the Julie Andrews tribute.
I might have boycotted that one.
She did a whole, and this was one of those things where it's like, I think most people have always known that Lady Gaga can really sing, but she sang Climb Every Mountain. She sang so many of the classic, I thought it was a Julie Andrews tribute. It might've been a Sound of Music tribute, but I remember her saying Climb Every Mountain, and she just nailed everything. And then obviously everything with, Bradley Cooper and like that performance. And so like, she's performed so many times that it's also sometimes like, what else can she do?
How can she top herself?
Yeah. And so I kind of liked her just in ripped jeans and no makeup. The camera angles were a little weird.
Well, and that's my issue. I didn't have a problem with the performance, but the cameras were so close up on her. Literally, you could count her eyebrow hairs. It's like, that's too close.
That was a little too close.
That's a little too close. I understand the intimacy and, you know, and she is remarkably talented. And
she's, yeah, absolutely. And so, but I did not, I had the, so the song, so now that we're on song, let's just start there. So we'll start going through the winners. I wanted Lift Me Up by Rihanna from Black Panther to win. Cause the first time, I mean, I liked Black Panther 1 more than 2, but I did like 2. And when that song plays during the credits, like, it's just an emotional song. And truly, Rihanna's voice is so, like, one of the most unique voices that we have as far as just her control over it. I thought her performance was excellent. But the Natu Natu, I had not heard of this movie. I had not heard this song. But again, musical theater fan. And that performance, I was like, what is this song? This is so much fun.
Yes.
I want to, the dancing was so great. The song was so catchy. And I was actually really happy without knowing anything about the movie. I was like, good for you guys. Can we play some of it?
Let's take a listen. This is Natu Natu from last night's Oscar performance.
I don't know what they're saying.
No idea.
Actually, I looked up the synopsis of the story. It actually sounds like mystical and fun and like, they're like fighting colonialism, but it kind of seems like a the adventure of it. And so I was like, oh, maybe we should go track down this movie and watch it. But that I thought was super fun. And so I out of nowhere became rooting for them to win.
But I agree with you. I thought it was a great live performance. The other thing that really struck me was it was like Riverdance, but Indian style Riverdance. Some of the movements that they were making and some of the dance moves with the very clipped and the really quick. And if you have a chance to check out the video, it's really worth watching. That is a workout, man.
Oh yeah. When they're doing the kicks back and forth without putting down their foot.
Yes.
It's like the Russian,
Cossacks?
The Russian kicks. Yes, exactly. But some of the other, I mean, obviously the biggest story of the night was that Everything Everywhere All at Once cleaned up. And won Best Picture, won Best Director, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Actress.
Not Best Supporting Actress. Oh, yeah, that's for Jamie Lee, yeah.
No, for Jamie Lee Curtis,
right.
was
It's controversial.
And, you know, and I've seen both. I thought, I mean, it's hard. I mean, these are always hard, right? And I think to a certain extent, the young woman who was also nominated from Everything Everywhere All at Once, who
Stephanie
plays the daughter.
Stephanie Sue.
And she was excellent in that movie. And Vanessa, why am I forgetting her name?
Vanessa.
From Black Panther.
Oh, Angela Bassett?
Angela Bassett. why my brain just totally went put. She was excellent in Black Panther too, but the argument that Stephanie Sue is younger, earlier in her career, and sometimes these are like legacy things. And but like Angela Bassett also could have, it could have been a legacy award for her as well.
Absolutely.
And like, she did not hide her disappointment when they scanned her. And I think that's fine. I think for some actors, you know, when like Kate Blanchett, who I have not seen Tar, but she's been, I don't think Kate Blanchett needs the validation that she's literally one of the best actresses alive.
Yeah.
Right? I think even I remember reading on the award circuit, her like really hyping up Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, and, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when she doesn't like, she's, I think she's not actually disappointed, but for someone like Angela Bassett, I mean, I think they were both really good, and I don't know. Cause I think some people want to make it about race, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I certainly understand her disappointment, and you could just see it go over her face. Yeah. I knew this was going to happen again. Yeah. I knew this would happen again.
Has she been, what else has she been? Do you know anything at the top of your head she's been nominated for?
I'm sure she was nominated for What's Love Got to Do with It when she played Tina Turner.
But didn't win.
I don't think so. And there might be something to Jamie Lee being, you know, she's the daughter of Hollywood legends and the whole Nepo thing, which she has addressed and been very open about it. And you just feel badly. You always feel badly for the losers.
Yeah, but it's also like the accomplishment of even being nominated. Think about how much work gets done in a given year and only 5 performances get recognized.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But speaking of the opposite spectrum of Nepo babies, both the Kiwi Kwan and Michelle Yeoh talking about, you know, he was a refugee. I didn't realize he was a refugee.
It's a great speech.
Yeah, let's play that.
My mom is 84 years old, and she's at home watching. Mom, I just want an Oscar. My journey started on a boat. I spent a year in a refugee camp. And somehow, I ended up here on Hollywood's biggest stage. They say stories like this only happen in the movies. I cannot believe it's happening to me. This is the American dream. Dreams are something you have to believe in. I almost gave up on mine. To all of you out there, please keep your dreams alive. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I was crying.
Yeah, me too.
Just a mess. What a wonderful... I'm so happy for him, and I'm so mad at Steven Spielberg. You couldn't give him a job in the last 30 years? No. What the heck is wrong with you?
It's clearly his fault.
Well, he's made a couple movies. He's made a couple movies since then.
No, I know. But also what was so special is the fact that Harrison Ford was the one who gave announced the best overall picture.
Yep.
And like the way those two hugged on stage and just short round at Indiana Jones is like, oh my gosh. But then before we run out of time, I do want to play a little bit of Michelle Yeoh. You know, she's 60.
Isn't she amazing? She's amazing.
Which also means that she was in her late 30s when she did Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Because that was another great movie.
That was a good movie.
I was so happy for her.
Thank you. For all the little boys and girls who look like me watching tonight, this is a beacon of hope and possibilities. This is proof that dreams dream big and dreams do come true. And ladies, don't let anybody tell you you are ever past your prime.
Just a dig at Don Lemon.
No doubt. It was great. It was a great, great moment. So, so happy for her too.
Which for both, I mean, she first Asian American woman to ever win both first time, I think, for two Asian actors to win in the acting categories in the same year. Ruth Carter became the first woman, Black woman, to win two Oscars ever, and for the costume design for Black Panther and Black Panther 2.
Brendan Fraser won.
Brendan Fraser won. And yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was a really good night. And I think we'll come back after the break and maybe some of the more funny or whatever moments. But I want to end on, because we have talked, you know, women's representation. There was we won't play this clip then. But once again, there was not a single female director nominated for Best Director. And so the woman who won for Best Adapted Screenplay had a little good dig. So we'll play that when we come back. We got one more segment. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are wrapping up our thoughts from the Oscars. And I want to play just a slight dig from Sarah Polley, who won for Best Adapted Screenplay for Women Talking, which I have. Have you seen that yet?
I have not.
I want to see it now because it was also nominated for Best Film. I don't think it was ever considered a contender, but obviously, again, there's only so many movies that get nominated, so I'm sure is still good. But let's play some of her opening statements after her win.
First of all, I just want to thank the Academy for not being mortally offended by the words women and talking put so close together like that. Cheers.
Boom.
Yeah.
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 Because we didn't get to this last Wednesday for International Women's Day, but one of the topics I had picked was basically a plateau in women roles for women in leads, like lead roles. How many of the lead roles that do exist are white, young, that there's still not really even close to equal representation in the characters that are written and who gets to play them. So that's a little bit of a, and behind the scenes as far as who's directing. And
there's a ways to go.
Yeah,
there's
a ways to go. But then for me, I feel like one of my favorite moments was when the guys who won for Best Short Film and Irish Goodbye, you didn't like, I know we don't have the clip for it, but
okay.
As far as,
yeah, just, it was adorable.
So one of the lead actors in there, I mean, you know, for both Mike and I, we both have an uncle with Down syndrome, and one of the lead actors in that short film has Downs, and it was his birthday. And so they got, that might be a first time ever. And they got that one. They used their opportunity when they won to get the entire audience to sing happy birthday to him, which was very heartwarming.
It was so sweet. It really was. It was so sweet. And now I really want to see that film.
I know, me too.
And Irish Goodbye.
And then I would say I thought the two best jokes, and I almost don't want to say the Hugh Grant one because, like, apparently he was a real dick on the red carpet. And I haven't seen the clip yet, but that's been going viral this morning that he was not, that he was a jerk on the red carpet. But this was a pretty funny joke when he was up there with Andy McDowell.
We're actually here to do two things. The first is to raise awareness about the vital importance of using a good moisturizer. Andy has been wearing one every day for the last 29 years. I've never used one in my life. Still stunning, basically a scrotum.
Pointing to himself, by the way.
Pointing to himself,
not Andy McDowell.
Scrotum's just a funny word. And maybe it does make it that much better that he was a jerk on the red carpet and then he referred to himself as a scrotum. So this may be poetic justice there. But then I thought there was too many slap jokes. Like, I thought they hit it a little too much. But this joke at the beginning, I think, is like a perfect joke as far as it points to the irony and of what happened last year and why it was handled so poorly. So let's just get Jimmy Kimmel's joke
on it. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor and permitted to give a 19-minute long speech. No, but seriously, the Academy has a crisis team in place. If anything unpredictable or violent happens during the ceremony, just do what you did last year. Nothing. Sit there and do absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
That was exactly, it's like, how did, and that's probably why they didn't kick him out last year. It's like, well, we know that he won. So what are we going to do?
What are we going to do with him?
His name.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very good joke.
I thought Kimmel handled it really well. The other thing that went by really quickly, and I wish they had done, also in that opening setup, he said that for people who went over their time when they were giving their acceptance speeches, that they weren't going to play music out. Instead, a group of dancers would come out and they would dance you out. I thought that was brilliant, and I think they should actually do that. Time to go. Come on. It was,
do the long speeches bother you?
Sometimes. I mean, this was a Golden Globes going back a number of years, but it was Al Pacino who got up to give a speech, and he was either so inebriated or just so confused. It was like, get the hook, because the speech is going nowhere. And it's making him look kind of bad.
I don't think I remember that.
This is, I believe you were born, but we'll check.
Yeah, we'll check. But because with the Daniels winning for Best Director, he's like, I'm just going to keep going. And he just kept talking. But it's also two of them. You know what was surprising about that is that they started as music video directors.
Music videos.
Yeah, that's how they get. They met at Emerson College when they were both, I forgot what they were majoring in, but art school in Boston. And they've always worked together.
Wow.
That's why they refer to themselves as the Daniels. And it was their first, which kind of makes sense. Like when you see Everything Everywhere at All at Once.
Yes.
And the wildness of all of it, the butt plug kung fu, the colors, everything. It actually makes a lot more sense that they come from a music video background.
It explains a lot, actually. It really does. The quick cuts, that explains a lot. It still is one of those films that I should probably go back and watch a couple more times.
I really liked it. It's so weird. It's so weird.
It's really odd.
But it's also, I really liked it. So I was happy for them. I was happy just for the representation of that story resonating for as much as it did, even if there's some people who absolutely hated it. Overall, I'm still a fan of the Oscars, as much as some people want to say they're irrelevant and slow and boring. And then tonight, I will get to go watch the season finale of The Last of Us, because I did choose the Oscars over that, so no spoilers. But that will about do it for us today on As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for Luke and Brian for the Dueling Tangents, and come back tomorrow at 11 when we'll do it all again.
I love a dance by Fred Astaire.
And Brando's eyes, Yul Brynner's hair.
But I think to tell you's only fair that I love
Cary Grant, how to Dot Day. His utter charm blew me away.
But don't get me wrong.
How do you say?
I love being here with you.
Basie's band is swinging. I love Ella singing. Cause there's something else you know.
You know, they know how to say it. They know how to play it. They wind it up and let it go. I love the thrill of New York.
Would have kissed your broken nose.
Oh, thanks.
But I'd like to say before I close,
I'm gonna get you on a slow boat to China, cause I love.
The Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.